Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I'm definitely recording this while wearing pants, as far as you know. And with me, I have...
So can it, like, stop being hot? I'm tired of sweating all day. Like, cool down, please, everywhere. Stop being hot.
And...
Hey, anybody want some of this bacon I found in your room? Like, there's a lot of bacon. Like, where did it come from? And what's what I'm doing here? Peppa Pig, my first time. It was pig.
No, Mark, don't. It's a trap. Oh man, he did, didn't he?
That is the plan, maybe dead, but its memory lingers on in the subconsciousness of the melonhead guy.
The plan is dead. Long live the plan.
The first 666 out of 10. Fantastic.
Truly a review for our time. But anyway, this is episode 138. How's everything been going with you guys this past week?
It's been hot. Really, really hot. And I just... ugh. Can we get some kind of cool down, please? It's been sweltering, sweaty, hot for like a week. That's just where I live. Everywhere. Even places like New York. So much so that there have been blackouts.
Oof. Ooh. Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, that's ever fun. So, yeah.
You know, I was saying the same thing. And I think I might have had a monkey's paw because our cool down, you know, down here is rain complete with lightning storms.
Yeah, but that happens here too. Though in the summertime, that's just every day.
But it's like a precursor of hurricane season.
Yeah, but aside from sweltering heat, not much has been going on. Just trying to survive in the heat. Which is not pleasant when you have a car that doesn't have any air conditioning.
Oof.
And when it's 95 degrees outside and super humid, that's just... dying.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Yeah, so enough with summer. Bring on the fall coolness. I'm ready for 70-degree weather again.
Aren't we all? Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Like Alex, I'm getting sick of this weather myself, and I'm somebody who used to like summer, but now it's like, I can't take this shit no more. It's either hot one day, then raining the next. What's worse about it is when it was raining, okay, I'm just going to say it. A couple of days ago, I got rear-ended when I was coming back from work. I got shocked and scared a bit because I'm thinking like, who the fuck hit me? Who the fuck hit me? Like, who the fuck hit me on the way back? And I don't know, they left. I don't know, like, the point is, like, wow, that experience was, it wasn't good at all. Oof. I will say on a brighter note, my stuff from the Sentai sale came in today, which, you know, ended recently.
Yay.
Nice.
Yeah, maybe the two shows, because both of the shows I did want were either, well, sold out. I could get Kids on a Slope, which, damn, that got sold out. Which I have Amagi Brilliant Park, which, yeah, it's a good show. And I got Dog and Scissors.
Why?
Am I supposed to know what that is?
I'm curious.
Okay, yeah, I actually got my stuff in last week, too. I'm just waiting on Sword Oratoria, because it's back-ordered. Hopefully they'll honor it, and I didn't order it too late.
Anime shopping sounds like fun. But, anyway, as for me, well, basically nothing. Just, you know, class. This is my last week, got my final on Wednesday. Playing a whole bunch of Persona 5, trying to catch up on review stuff. Yeah, that's basically about it. So, with that out of the way, time to commence with the usual business. Starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. Of course, as always, there'll be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with these miscellaneous songs that we will be discussing here. So, to start things off, let's actually have Mark give us the first song over here. You have the floor, Ming.
Alright, yeah, good. So, oh yeah, once again, some new Griselda shit. Oh yeah, I've been spoiling Griselda lately. Like, we had that Being the Butcher EP, that West Side Gun album that came out a few weeks ago. And now we got something for another dude from there. Conway the Machine. Yes, everybody now has a duh in the name. Conway the Machine, Being the Butcher, might as well say West Side the Gun. It fits more. And of course, I got a new joint, Bang, and, it features Eminem.
Aww.
Again, I keep forgetting. Let me state this. Whether Griselda signed the Shady Records, I meant West Side Gun and Conway. Being the Butcher, not there yet, which, well, he's lucky. And I will say this: the track is pretty good. Like, it's pretty good. I think it's either a one off or I think he got some baby coming soon. But I don't know what it is, but like I love the way Conway raps on here. He does got that look of somebody that says that, yeah, you don't want to fuck with me right now. Like, the way the cover out the album, the cover look, he was like, yeah, you don't want to fuck with me. Like, and this raps on here, it's like, all right, this ain't got it. And I'm gonna say right now in this record, this is the first time in a while that Anverse didn't piss me off. I mean, I'm not gonna say it's amazing. I'm just gonna say, like, hey, it's not being a tantrum fest. It's mainly him just talking about his past beef with rappers like Cannabis and Ja Rule, but still those shots that shot me the god at Igazelia. Like you said, compare me to Manson, Brownlee, or Charles. Okay, why? Compare me to Nas, Biggie, or Tupac. No better than an icky bitch or this fucking movie hip hop. And I gotta say, wow, the beat, it does get the signature Griselda touch with Derringer being the producer for being Lucifer, for usually all the Griselda gang. Like, during the end, mostly around Emma's part, the dude got this kind of like B switch up at, well, not switch, but more like at being the end. So I'll say this track, I'll say that Conway brought it. He brought it good. And Eminem didn't piss me off for once.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Okay, so Conway obviously brings it. Eminem is, well, this is the least annoying Eminem verse I've heard in a while. But the thing is, it so does not fit here at all. Like, you have Conway, who has this very slow, lethargic, but very menacing sound to it. You know, kind of like a serial killer in a horror movie. And then you have Eminem going a mile a minute. And it's just, these two parts do not work together at all. It's like I'm listening to two different songs, especially when the trap beat kicks in. You know, because Eminem, for all the sarcastic smackdowns he gives to friggin' trap music, apparently he's still gonna use the beats anyway, so what the fuck ever.
Yeah, I still don't get that. I got used to, remember those guys you like? Yeah, it sounded like a guy you really didn't like, so, I mean, that don't mean shit. I mean, I consider, like, those guys, but not you, but... Once again, Conway brought it in. It's Eminem verse that isn't, well, I'm not gonna say it's all, like I said, it's not all great. It's not Kamikaze bad. Or the Homicide bad.
Well, I guess not. Anyway, moving on to the next song here. Oh, look, we got a new track from Fortet. no news on an album yet or anything, but this one is called Dreamer, and there's a lot of chimes in this one. It's a very chimey kind of song. Sounds all aquatic and oceany, kind of like a fun day at an alien beach or some shit like that. I don't know, I don't really have much other descriptive words to say. I like it as a, you know, chill vibe kind of jam, but I don't really got much else to say on it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'll say this is pretty, you know, this is pretty chill. I'm not gonna say about this either. Like, I listen to it, like, I do get, like, some, you know, some good vibes getting from it, but yeah, this is, it's pretty high. Like, that's all I got from that.
I share these notions because, yeah, it's good, it's chill, it's vibey, it's boppy, and that's pretty much all that can be said about it. Good stuff, though. Thumbs up.
Speaking of which, let's move on to this past week's entry into the Adult Swim Singles program. This one coming from a producer named Teebs, who, if I recall correctly, is signed to Brainfeeder. So, you know, they have that association going for them. And the song is called Mirror Memory, and yeah, pretty much sounds like the Brainfeeder style of sort of electronica hip-hop. Very clattery, hissing percussion with wavy, shimmering synths over top. These ascending synth melodies that sound almost kind of like woodwinds. You know, the kind of woodwinds that maybe guys like Future should be putting on their songs instead of fucking cheap-ass fourth-grade recorders. But still sounding very elegant and nice. I'm with it. I like this.
Yes, I do remember listening to Teebs one time, maybe during that Brainfeeder anniversary CD they put out last year. Maybe I had like one or two tracks on it. It's like, okay, this is something I do hear, like, coming from the Brainfeeder camp, and this is definitely something I hear from the Brainfeeder camp, which is a style I can fuck with. So yeah, there you go on that. This is capital Brainfeeder music.
And now we gotta move on to the next song here, and Mark, I can already hear you whining underneath your breath. For the love of God, man, don't be such a baby.
Oh, no, damn it. Okay, so apparently, two artists named Baby, aka Little Baby and Da Baby, oh my God, has a song out called Baby. It is from the Quality Control, from the record label Quality Control. You know, the label that brought you, well, Little Baby, Amigos, Little Yachty. Yeah, those guys, yeah, they got another closer album called Total Streets Volume 2, which comes out next month. No boy. And with this track, I'm just gonna say this. Wow, if I had to pick one baby up before, I'd rather prefer Dub Baby, because at least Dub Baby sounds like he's well competent, or at least something he can do well on the track. Like, these two mesh together, they don't mesh all that well. Like, the baby sounds like a baby goose trying to rap. Or at least we go he sounds like a very off key squawking, like some type of shit. Like, I don't know. Just really doesn't mesh well. I mean, at least Dub Baby try hard. Little Baby, I don't see the appeal of this motherfucker. But yeah, this is. I'm not feeling most of it. Like, at all.
All I understood was something about nutting and Mardi Gras beads. Everything else just goes in one ear and out the other, whether as slurred nonsense or nasally whining. What is the appeal of Lil Baby again? Whatever, I'm not here to ask those questions. I'm here to mock. But anyway, time to move on to the next track here. So, we got another one here by Killswitch Engage from their upcoming August 16th release, Atonement. This one's called I Am Broken Too, and I mean, my feelings on Killswitch Engage in general remain the same with this song especially, although I will be nice and say that I appreciate a lot of the emotional sympathies present in the lyrics. That's pretty much all I have to say.
Yeah, I'd say more too, but it's a pretty quick song about, what, 2 minutes, 40 seconds, and it's pretty all right and straightforward. It grooves along with its initial four-chord, 7-4 progression in some of its parts. It's all right. Maybe a little too simplified and straightforward for my taste, but it's an okay song.
Right. Now time to move on to our next song here. An artist that occasionally seems to cross paths with the wider metal community at large, despite not being strictly metal. That being the singer-songwriter Chelsea Wolfe, who's coming out with her latest album, Birth of Violence, on September 13th. We have the lead-off single here, American Darkness, and ooh, it's all dark and gothic and creepy. Well, okay, it doesn't hit you right away with creepiness at first. It starts off with, like, you know, some very delicate folk acoustic guitars with a lot of howly, windy echoes floating above the entirety of the song, punctuated by these bursts of these, like, creepy sort of synthy piano keys that pop in and out of the song. Of course, Chelsea's vocal performance is sounding appropriately, like, you know, haughty and unnerving, especially when she asks, "Won't you dance?" Because I feel like I'm going to get a curse placed on me if I give the answer of no, even though I do not dance. I am very terrified of that possibility. I do kind of like how the production of everything kind of builds a bit more towards the last couple of minutes, like a proper crescendo into an appropriate climax. Like it's trying to be, you know, this big finishing sort of thing. I gotta buff up more on Chelsea Wolfe, but this is okay. I'm inclined to check it out from curiosity, basically.
As good as this song is, this is a textbook case of, again, not my thing. It's good. I can't say anything bad about it, but I don't really have an attachment to it. It's just me talking objectively about it, not subjectively. It's good, but it's not my thing.
Okay, now to move on to the next song here on the checklist, and this one goes with special shout-out to our producer, Mr. E, given that this is one of his all-time favorite bands. So, it's been about a decade or so since we last heard any recorded material from the ever-so-wonderfully named artist, The Number 12 Looks Like You. Well, wait no further, gentlemen, because on September 20th, they're releasing their much-anticipated brand-new reunion album, Wild Gods. And we have the lead-off single from the album here, Ruin the Smile, a song that I can get behind because it's about one of my favorite things in the world, murdering pedophiles.
Yes.
You're already on my good side right there. And of course, it sounds like the appropriate sort of offbeat, mathcore, emo, screamo wildness that's always kind of been a trademark of their sound. It opens with this ominous, like, fucking Carmina Burana, Dark Carnival sort of thing, dramatic strings and shit as the guitars enter and get all menacing. Lots of blast beats, these disorienting, squealing guitar leads, these whacked out chord progressions just kind of squealing all the way in your ear. Mixing up, like, these weird drum grooves and double kick runs, that pretty killer solo section near the end, it goes all over the place. It gets all wild and weird, especially with the vocals moving between, like, the usual cleaner emo stuff and the more grating screeches and everything. And did I mention it's a song about murdering pedophiles? I feel like that's important to mention. That just makes everything so much better.
Yeah. This reminds me that mathcore is a criminally underappreciated subgenre, and that we could all use a bit more of this noisy, polyrhythmic madness in our lives. This band has got my attention. I'm curious to see what else they're going to have in store now.
It's going to be a trip and a half. Now, anyway, time to move on to the last two songs here, which I kind of forgot about when I was building the playlist here. Well, okay, I forgot about this one. The other one was breaking this morning. We're moving on. Okay, so this past week or so, the band Norma Jean finally announced that they're releasing their follow-up to Polar Similar on October 25th. The album is called All Hail. Hail who, you may ask? Well, I don't think they're telling us to hail Stan, because Periphery already told us to hail Stan. So your guess is as good as mine. But yeah, so we have the lead-off single here, Mind Over Mine, and it's a short fucking moshy-ass banger jam if there ever was one. Comes right out of the gate with that slamming guitar chug, complete with a lot of that feedback popping in and out between the chords. fucking hard-ass pounding drums settling into its, you know, huge-sounding, you know, typical grooves for the Norma Jean sound. A lot of those tom pounds, the squealing guitar leads, dive bombs, really bassy in the low end, Corey Putnam's loud bellowing screams are still as on point as they ever been. And trust me, those, like, drum fills in the middle bridge and everything are fucking aces. That big breakdown near the end, just, I feel like I'm fucking breaking some things.
Yeah, this is very solid, very heavy, extremely in your face, and more proof that Three Teeth are below average when compared to other and better bands like these guys. Excellent work.
Well, I may have a thing or two to say about that on the album roundup, but that's not for another few weeks. Anyway, so now we have our true last song here, literally breaking just this morning, and I just had to throw it in here because, I mean, come on, guys, it's Slipknot!
Oh, yeah.
We had to. So, yeah, we are a few weeks away from We Are Not Your Kind coming out, you know, in August 9th, and we have the next single from the album here, this one called Solway Firth, complete with the music video, which apparently is comprised of some mixed-in footage from an Amazon show that I never watched. Or is it Netflix? I forget which one they said.
That would be The Boys. It's a show on Amazon that is, well, meant to be a, quote, superhero black comedy series. And of course it has Seth Rogen in it.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But we're not here to talk about Seth Rogen. So, okay, the way this song starts off, it has this creepy synthetic intro with this buried guitar rhythm as Corey is doing like this spoken word sort of thing. There's kind of some weird sort of southern rambly bits going
on.
Like he's doing something from like Primus. Like Pork Soda era Primus.
I noticed that. It was kind of weird. It sounded kind of like the weird redneck guy in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre AVGN video.
Ah, so like Max von Sydow in the original movies.
Yeah, kind of like that.
I've seen Texas Chainsaw a lot. I like that
Yeah.
movie. But then it gets into the actual riffs proper. And again, this thing comes in slamming hard. Big riffs, huge pounding drums, punctuated by bursts of metallic synths. Then as it segues more into the verses, there's a lot of that, you know, percussive layering with the hard steel clicking and the fast, rapid snare fills. Going into a bit more of that muted passage before the guitars swell back up to this big sounding halftime groove that's like fucking hitting as hard as they really are delivering Iowa fucking heaviness on here. It moves further into like some of these more thrashier elements with tremolos and fucking rapid drum kicks and shit. The huge fucking building chugging groove where Corey's screaming, "What have you done?" into more of those uncomfortable like industrial flourishes with the guitars flanging and the drums with those offbeat cymbal accentuations. Like, it's hard to describe. This is easily one of the most structurally dense songs that Slipknot's recorded in a long ass time. But boy, does every section of it bring the creepy, the heavy, the fucking just everything. This album, if things are going on the track that I think they are, sorry, Mr. Devin Townsend, your top spot might be dethroned.
Yeah, this year's shaping up to be a pretty loaded one for the metal scene. But as for this song, hot damn, visceral, powerful, smacks you all over the place. And it's a bit more mid-tempo for Slipknot standards, but it doesn't have a problem ramping up the intensity with Corey's absolutely intense, piercing, almost screeching in parts vocals. And it has no problem keeping that up even with a less frantic pacing to it. It's fantastic. Now, I have to wonder, how is the rest of the album going to be? Because if these are the singles, what are the deep cuts going to sound like?
That's the fun.
Yeah.
But that basically covers the new song discussion, so now we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we got plenty of news, so stay tuned.
Yeah.
And we're back. So for our first news topic here, it's a little bit of bad news. So pretty much might as well get to it right away. Chris Adler is now the former drummer of Lamb of God. This past week on Twitter, the band had announced that he was fully out and that they're being joined permanently by drummer Art Cruz, who had been playing with them for the past couple years following a motorcycle accident that greatly injured Mr. Adler. I guess the recovery was not going smoothly at all, or at least taking longer than expected.
Yeah, apparently he's been in physical therapy to go through recovering his injuries. And apparently, I guess that just wasn't enough, and the band needed to push forward, and I guess Chris wasn't ready for it. Kind of sucks.
Yes. Yes, it does. But it is what it is, so I'm guessing that they're probably going to end up working with Art Cruz on whenever, you know, the next Lamb of God album actually comes out, and then, you know, let's hope Chris gets better eventually, like... You know, I'm not sure if he'll be better enough to play drums anytime soon, but, you know, hopefully recovering to where he can, you know, do something. Anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, anyway, time to move on to some movie news. Starting off here with a trailer for an upcoming film called Hustlers. You know, you might have heard about it a while back. It's a film about, you know, strippers who work to basically mug a bunch of rich dudes. You know, gotta get that money. Because, you know, fuck the 1%. So the trailer came out recently, pretty star-studded, perhaps two of its more notable cast members being, of course, Cardi B, who apparently has lived the story of Hustlers IRL, if you all remember that from however many months ago, and Lizzo. She's in this as well. I assume she's doing that to, you know, spite... I imagine she's probably, like, poisoning, drugging, and robbing anybody who's talked shit about her music. Which is very terrifying to think about. But, I mean, looking at the trailer and everything, I mean, it's okay. Looks like your typical modern-day dramatic thriller sort of thing. And if that's your thing, cool. I'm just, I don't know. It's not really looking like my thing, to be honest.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it seems to be like the, you know, I guess like, you know, like the small, like, very... small to mid-budget movie, like, you know, it comes out, like, September, which, you know, is more like the, you know, it's the cool-down summertime, after, you know, some movies came out, but then again, when does It Part 2 come out again? Like, no, that came out September, and that made fucking bank on September, so, shit, I don't know, but, okay, anyway, this movie, it's okay. I get the plus strippers one, you know, what they mean, because, you know, they got to live their life, and the cast, most of the cast looks pretty alright too. Like I see the one actress, Constance Wu, who I heard from that one show, I know it's called Fresh Out the Boat, and that movie last year she was in Crazy Rich Asians, which I heard was good. It might seem like something that might be okay. Like maybe like a, you know, like a small splash, it might make it fierce, but who knows?
Yeah, it is what it is. But let's move on to the next bit of news here. So this past weekend was San Diego Comic-Con. You know, the thing where we basically all just wait to see whatever the hell Marvel's doing for the next 2 years. As it turns out, apparently making movies with logos that look like your dad's record collection. aside from that, there's of course other announcements poking in and out of other spots. And here's one of the more unusual ones. So... as you might remember from however many years ago, Mr. Sturgill Simpson winning the Grammy for Best Country Album with A Sailor's Guide to Earth, which was a pretty good album. And we've been patiently waiting on a follow-up, you know, ever since that time. Well, it looks like we finally got the announcement of that follow-up in the strangest way possible. So we know that he's going to be releasing an album, a new album, called Sound and Fury sometime this fall. But apparently accompanying the album, like literally a simultaneous release on the same day, will be a forthcoming Netflix anime film. It'll be of the same name, and, you know, it's set entirely to music from the album, and I don't know if it's going to be a singular story or an anthological piece of various, you know, segments that connect more with the songs or anything, but, you know, this is a thing, so... as far as the staffing, we know that it's mainly being written and directed by Junpei Misuzaki, the founder of Kamikaze Douga, who you might know for producing CG animated films such as Batman Ninja. And Misuzaki in particular has also worked on things like the first four OP sequences for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, which you can pretty much immediately tell from watching the trailer because it does look like that very similar kind of heavily detailed CG, but like with actual personality. And so, you know, not like Berserk or whatever the fuck that Fist of the Blue Sky shit was. Also, additionally, it features the character designer Takashi Okazaki, best known as the creator of the Japanese manga series Afro Samurai. And joining that pedigree, there's various other directors involved, like Masaru Matsumoto, known for his work on Starship Troopers, Traitors of Mars, Michael Arias from the Animatrix, and even Koji Morimoto, who's worked on Akira. So, yeah, this is a lot of anime talent to be throwing on an anime film adaptation for an album from a country musician. I'm still saying those words out loud. I'm trying to process this.
Yeah, from what I can gather, this might be more of an anthology kind of feature with segments set to each song of the album. Though it's worth noting Sturgill Simpson is credited for the story of the film, even though if it was actual directorial and writing duties were handled by Misuzaki. He actually said in an interview, quote, "We went in without any preconceived notions and came out with a really sleazy, steamy rock and roll record. It's definitely my most psychedelic and also my heaviest. I had this idea that it'd be really cool to animate some of these songs, and we ended up with a futuristic, dystopian, post-apocalyptic samurai film."
Well, shit, count me in.
Yeah, this is kind of weird, but also really cool. And to think, you know, 26 years ago, if something like this were to happen, you'd have to be Todd Rundgren putting out an album only on the CDI.
I have questions.
Okay.
That's something you'll have to look up on your own time. It was a really weird thing. But, yeah, back then it was all that kind of weird stuff. Nowadays, make an anime feature and put it on Netflix the same day the album comes out. It's going to be weird, but I'm going to be into it.
Yeah, I gotta say, this piece by Antrus, like, I know maybe I listen much about him, so I know he's an artist that I consider to be, well, I think he's interesting. Well, everything I hear, he's got something interesting going on, and for all the Netflix anime stuff going on around this time, now it's like, well, I got a lot of Netflix anime to watch come in the fall. Especially one title that recently got another anime expo that will air on August 31st, part one, and I can't wait to watch that. You know how happy I was to hear that shit.
Ah, yes, Carol and Tuesday. Oh. Fucking finally.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, looking forward to that. Now, time to move on to the next one here. First, a little preface, though. I have seen exactly one musical in my lifetime, that being the Book of Mormon. I saw it the weekend of my birthday, like 3-4 years ago. And even as someone who's generally tired now of the Matt and Trey aesthetic, that was a pretty good musical. Songs were catchy, funny as hell. Yeah, I liked it. But yeah, obviously my frame of reference for musical material in a Broadway sense is lacking. I've never seen Wicked. I have no fucking clue about anything in Les Miserables. I've never seen fucking Hamilton, and I probably never will. Sorry, Lin-Manuel Miranda. And I've also never seen Cats, which is apparently a thing that people know a lot about for some reason. But speaking of Les Miserables cats, as you may have heard recently, that we're going to be getting a film adaptation of the musical, directed by Tom Hooper, who also directed the recent film adaptation of Les Miserables from 2012. This is coming out in December, and we finally got the trailer. And why does this look like, I don't know, fucking mediocre PlayStation 2-ass graphics, fucking cat-looking motherfuckers? Like, what are these CGI Uncanny Valley abominations? It's literally humans, but they just kind of have, like, vague cat-like features photoshot onto them. Fucking, this is what my nightmares look like. There's a fucking Jason Derulo cat in here, because that's what we needed. There's a Taylor Swift cat. Fucking Sir Ian McKellen is here for some reason. And apparently the plot of the musical is just, like, a bunch of cats introducing themselves through song and then debating which one of them gets to go to heaven or something. What the fuck is this?
I have a very interesting history when it comes to this.
Oh, do tell.
As a child, whenever I was at my grandparents' house, I always saw the VHS recording of Cats that they put out in 1998, right near their VCR. I saw it, I looked at it. As a kid, it terrified me. As a 25-year-old, mostly gay male, I'm looking at this going, wow, this is really friggin' stupid. How did this become successful? I saw that tape. I knew right then and there. Nope. Now we're getting a full-blown Hollywood adaptation of it because the well is now so dry, we're going under the barrel.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Taylor Swift is here too.
And not only that, features Jennifer Hudson, Idris Elba, who was like a cat pimp or some shit. Like, I don't know why. Rebel Wilson, who, well, pretty much does what she always do, but now she's a cat. And of course, Rob, your boy, James Corden.
He is not my boy. And you better take that back or else I'm strapping you in the chair front row on premiere night.
Oh, don't worry about that. This is going to be coming out the same exact friggin' day as Star Wars Episode 9.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you know, you say that as if this movie is going to get crushed by Star Wars, but don't doubt the audience when it comes to counter-programming against blockbusters.
Oh, that's right.
I just feel it in my bones that this is somehow going to run long and get some... Oh, dear God, if this actually gets awards recognition.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's exactly why The Lion King made $500 million opening weekend. Oh, wait.
Oh, don't tell me.
You know, between this, The Lion King, and Sonic the Hedgehog, I have to know, what's with the terrible cats going on in movies? And how is it, of those three movies, the one that has the most expression on their face is the one that goes, meow? How did we screw it up this bad?
At least the song is falling up the later movie.
I don't fucking know. It's like, you know, there's a reason why I stick permanently side by side with my dude Morgana from P5. He is a very good cat, and these cats are not good cats. Jesus. It's horrifying. But anyway, time to move on to the next topic here. So, we got another update in the ongoing story fallout from the 2008 Universal Studios fire that fucking annihilated a whole fuck ton of shit, and it's not looking pretty. Apparently, Universal Music Group is getting really petty about this thing and filed a motion on Wednesday to dismiss a class action lawsuit from attorneys representing the likes of Soundgarden, Hole, Steve Earle, and the estates of Tupac and Tom Petty. Apparently, they're arguing that musicians cannot pursue a claim because UMG owned the master recordings. In addition to that, they're also trying to dispute the extent of the damages, claiming that it wasn't over 500,000, it was really more like 20 or 30. Although, it is worth pointing out that, based on some of the language they're using, it sounds more like UMG is trying to fudge the definition of master recording, rather than, you know, just being honest. The fiends.
With all this talk of media ownership, who has what, who controls what, a line like, "All masters shall, from the inception of their creation, be the sole property of Universal Music Group, in perpetuity, free from any claims by you," sounds really messed up. This is the one part of the music industry nobody likes to talk about. In most cases, like 90 to 95% of cases, music labels own music, not the artist writing the music. That is all kinds of messed up. And it's no wonder why people are venturing towards, you know, self-publishing, self-releasing, self-distributing, yeah, going through independent labels. Because why would you want to deal with people like this? Especially Universal, with how their legion of YouTube interns are going to go ham on anyone and everyone using 3 seconds of audio and say, "Oh, you used this clip from a song. We're going to take all your money now."
Block, 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 shit, block, block. Can't see this worldwide. Block, block. I'm taking your shit. Block, block. Yeah, it's all mine. All mine. Mine. Your soul is mine. Your ass is mine. And your money is mine.
Yeah, you're going to get all 4 cents of ad revenue. Hope it was worth it.
Not if Spotify has anything to say about it. That too.
So, this is going to keep going for a while. This is probably not going to end anytime soon. There's a lot of legal crap to get through.
So, the important lesson here, kids, is if you're ever going to start a music career and you're ever thinking about signing to a label, don't. In fact, here's a better idea. Make your own label with blackjack and hookers. In fact, forget the hookers and the blackjack. Actually, no, don't forget those. We're going to need those. It's Mike's birthday, and he really wanted to go wild.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got one last topic here to cover, and it's a pretty interesting one. You know, while we're talking about streaming and, you know, metrics and all. Wait, what the fuck are you doing here? No, no, get back in the corner. Okay, so anyway, so yeah, I don't know if you heard, but you know, apparently, when you look at Spotify, you can see like how many plays are. Dude, what the fuck are you doing here? Go the
get
fuck
out!
Away. Back in the corner.
Who's this guy?
So it could be fun to compare the numbers on these things. And Michael Lang, I swear to fucking God, if you don't get back in the corner right now, I am turning this fucking car around, and we're not getting McDonald's. You're not fucking leaving, are you? God fucking damn it. You can't take no for an answer after three tries. What's wrong with you?
Oh, you again, God, huh?
We're going to have to deal with this before we get to the fun stuff, aren't we?
I am so tired of this. How many times must we go through this? How many times must we teach you this lesson, old man?
How many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man?
I love the young people.
I sure do love the young people.
Well, fuck you!
There's even more goddamn Woodstock 50 stupidity to talk about. In a follow-up from last week, the second attempt to get the people of Vernon Downs to give them the green light to have the Woodstock 50 festival. Yeah, no. That's not going to happen. And you'd think that would be enough, right? But you see, here's the problem. Apparently, if they cancel the festival outright, they're going to lose a lot of money. Somehow, they're going to lose even more money than they've already lost by having their investors pull out, having production companies pull out, and paying your top billing artists up front. All because you didn't get your mass gathering permits. And sure enough, on Monday, we got the denial of yet another appeal for the same site in the same city. Because, as we all know, if they say no one time, they don't really mean it. If they say no twice, just keep pushing onward. If they say no three times, you're going to get tasered in the testicles. And, yeah, based on what I've seen, that's never fun. You know, unless you're into that kind of stuff. But yes, once again, we're just going in circles here. Once again, denied, kicked out, Woodstock is homeless, they have no venue, and we're 23 days away. And worth noting, I'm just trying to calm myself down. Ray Walker, the code enforcement officer of the town of Vernon, said this. Implicit in this application is that those forced to leave Vernon Downs at 11 o'clock at night, in regards to the estimated number of attendees, and where they would have to go once the events wind down for the evening, will be forced to sleep in their cars or any lawn or sidewalk that seems unguarded, because perimeter fencing, that wasn't really talked about with this whole thing. I mean, after all, with Woodstock, you know public safety and crowd control are top priority, considering how well it went last time. I don't know how long we can keep going with this. We've seen everything happen that could possibly happen with a failed festival. We're 3 weeks away. There is no hope left. But God help me, I just know Michael Lang is going to continue being a stubborn idiot, and he's going to keep trying to make this happen. Again, even if it has to be under a bridge somewhere in Pennsylvania. Or even in a blackout alley in Brooklyn. When it's like 100 degrees outside.
Okay, the more I hear about the story, the more I feel like Michael Lang is like this.
God.
The more I feel like Michael Lang is like this kid to keep asking for a cookie. He keeps saying no, but every time he asks, you tell him, no, you can't get no cookie. Can't get no cookie. Stop asking for a fucking cookie. You know, fucking, stop asking for a motherfucking cookie. You're not getting no motherfucking cookie. Hey, what am I talking about? Cookie? Damn, I want cookies.
All I want after talking about this for so long is just the final word that this festival is not going to happen. And maybe that Michael Lang will be charged for massive fraud. Or, you know, served subpoenas for massive fraud. And if I'm the town of Vernon, I'd be very careful. I might want to install some of those Vic locks I've heard about.
Yeah.
People have no idea how defamation lawsuits work, and that's just incredibly stupefying.
Well, I guess it's appropriate. Michael Lang is, after all, stupid.
Stupid as hell.
Stupid, stubborn. The definition of a boomer.
Maybe this will be a story idea for season 15 of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. We shall wait and see. But anyway, now to get to the last article, Pierre, and just a bit of fun before we were so rudely interrupted. So, yeah, there's this piece going around on a couple of metal websites where they look at Spotify streaming data and look at, you know, they look at a whole bunch of hard rock and metal artists and sort of rank them against how many Spotify plays they have against each other. This one in particular that we have goes all the way up to 152. I'm not sure if we're going to cover all of them, but it's worth at least looking at the top 20 and then, you know, just kind of maybe hitting some random interesting points from there. So, starting at the top, number one with 17.16 million streams, we have AC/DC. Then at number two, Guns N' Roses, 16.82 million. Third place, Linkin Park, 16.64 million. And then we go 3 million down to Metallica at number four with 13.38 million views, well, streams. And then another 5 million down to System of a Down in fifth with 8.13 million. Number six, Kiss, 7.68 mil. Seven, Disturbed, 7.34 million. Eight, A Day to Remember, 6.56 million. Number nine, Black Sabbath with 6.46 million. At number 10, Slipknot with 6.35 million. Number 11, Rammstein with 6.06. 12, Limp Bizkit.
Ew.
I mean, at least Slipknot ranked higher than you, so that's good. 5.96. Motley Crue in number 13 with 5.8 million. Ozzy Osbourne, number 14, 5.26 million. Number 15, Soundgarden, 5.03 million. Korn at number 16 with 4.93 million. And then tied at 17th place with another 4.93 million is Def Leppard. We got Avenged Sevenfold at number 18 with 4.79 mil. Number 19, Whitesnake, 4.76 million. And number 20, Iron Maiden at 4.7 million. By the way, that reminds me, Iron Maiden played down here this past week and I fucking missed it.
Oh.
Because I did not have my expenses in order. Shit.
Yeah, that happens.
But yeah, just to put this in perspective, so yeah, that's the top 20. Then when we go from number 21, we have like 4.58 million for Five Finger Death Punch. And like we said, this list goes all the way up to 152. And all the way at the bottom is stuff like Vane at the absolute bottom with 50,000, YOB with 51,000, Rivers of Nile with 57,000. It should be at least a million, but whatever.
Yes.
You know, looking, you know, upward from there. Of course, there's a lot of usual suspects as far as more extreme metal. You know, you got The Faceless, Cattle Decapitation, Darkest Hour, Within the Ruins, Deaf Heaven, Mirrorcore, Shadows Fall, Code Orange, At the Gates, Dying Fetus, BT Bam with only 179,000. Devin Townsend with 188,000. Now, when they say Devin Townsend, are they counting all that material there? Or are they just counting his solo stuff?
I would assume it would include solo stuff, DTP, but I think that's just about it.
Yeah, because that's some stuff you got to keep in mind. Oh, hey, look at that. Periphery's at number 88 with 386,000.
Cool.
Clearly, it should be higher. Of course, there's okay, who the hell put Insane Clown Posse in this list?
What?
Wait, what? Oh, dear.
But they are, well, I won't say they're rap group, but
I don't know. I guess horrorcore counts in the same vein as the Misfits or something. I don't fucking know.
Higher than Opeth, Baby Metal, Lacuna Coil, and Death. My God.
And higher than Living Color, too.
That's a travesty.
Well, at least Gojira and White Zombie are higher, as well as Nightwish, Slayer, Sabaton, Trivium, Rob Zombie, Priest, Megadeth. Yeah, that's basically just like a skimming of the list here.
Don't forget, just over the million mark. Machine Head, Dragon Force, Amon Amarth, Dream Theater, heck yeah, and Seven Dust, whatever.
Eh. But, you know, just a fun little thing to cleanse our minds of the Lang disease.
Yeah, and it's good to see some of these bands getting some pretty good numbers. I mean, of course, we can't all be Ed Sheeran, can we?
Oh boy! Don't remind me. I gotta say about him coming. I'm around.
Like, Yeah. But anyway, yeah, that basically does it for the news topics, and we got one more bit of business here, and that is, of course, the new album releases for July 26th, 2019. Starting at the top, we have a new one from guitarist John 5 and The Creatures with Invasion. We got a new album from Thy Artist Murder with Human Target. A new project from YBN Cordae with The Lost Boy. We got a new one from BJ the Chicago Kid with 1123. A new album from NF. That's the Christian rapper dude, right?
Yep, that's
really him. Lame one.
Yep, yep.
Called The Search. We got a new one from E40 called Practice Makes Paper. We got the sophomore album from Rich Brian with The Sailor. We got a new one from indie rockers of Monsters and Men with Fever Dream. We got a new one from Kaiser Chiefs with Duck. A new project from the Violent Femmes with Hotel Last Resort. We got a new one from Clark called Kiri Variations. We have the second studio album from DJ Snake with Carte Blanche. Mm. And also coming out this Friday, last but certainly not least, the much anticipated new album from Chance the Rapper called The Big Day. So, yeah, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, the name is Aura of Azure, where I just do stuff sometimes. You never know when I'm going to show up and do something. But that's the fun of it.
Mark, what about you?
You know, Twitter, Matt's Having Media, my site, mine, 1.wordpress.com. Yeah, I don't know what I do this week. Well, since I got one title to... That might be, I don't know, review fodder, so there's that.
Yeah, anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Curious Cat at Rob Barracuda. You can email me at robert@surreresolution.com, you know, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes show up every Wednesday. Video highlights usually go up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel. Subscribe, hit the bell tab, all that business. Follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezzo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website SurrealResolution.com so you can see written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that business. Be sure to jump into our Discord if you want to wax nostalgic about Wonder Balls. Big chocolate balls filled with surprises. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week, and we'll, of course, see you next time. And until then, yeah, I was technically wearing pants the whole time. That was just a bad joke. See? I brought it full circle. Probably should have left the circle closed. What? Check this out. Let's go.